We've been building this week's edition of Eastern Standard, and here's a preview. It's Speak Now or Forever Hold Your Peace time for comment about efforts by industries along the Ohio River, the source of drinking water for 5 million people, to loosen anti-pollution regulations. This even though
the Ohio River in recent years, as recently as I think 2015, received the most industrial pollution than any other river in the country.
But longtime energy and environment reporter James Bruckers tells us that water quality in the Ohio has been improving.
Louisville in particular, and I think Cincinnati and some others, they're opening up their waterfronts, and it's becoming a front door instead of a back door. And they're very popular now for recreation. We have triathlons that are in Ironman competitions here in Louisville that have people swimming in the Ohio River. And there's bass fishing tournaments. So it's become, you know, a recreational place as well as, you know, a drinking water source. And of course, with drinking water utilities, they treat the drinking water.
Bruckers fills us in on a compromise recently approved by the Ohio River Valley Water Sanitation Commission. The commission represents Kentucky and 7 other states along the river and its 9 tributaries. It maintains tough standards for what can and cannot be dumped into the river. The commission recently gave preliminary approval to a compromise that would give states more flexibility to decide whether or not to apply its standards or to instead impose their own. You'll hear who is on which side of the debate and why. For so long, the running narrative about Eastern or Appalachian Kentucky has been, by and large, colored by negative stereotypes and stigma. Well, now, as the realities of the collapse of the coal industry sink in, people in the region are picking themselves up, dusting themselves off, and putting their minds to work, figuring out what's next.
There's a lot of forward thinking going on, and our focus has been around what's going to move our region forward, what's going to make our communities the kind of communities where interesting and new and creative things are going on that makes people want to stay.
Jerry Roll, Executive Director of the Foundation for Appalachian Kentucky, joins us, along with Laura Smith, who heads the Appalachian Impact Fund.
When we don't tell the full story, when we only hear the stereotype and the tropes that we all know and can repeat, we're robbing ourselves of a much richer experience.
One Eastern Kentucky experience getting new notice these days happens at places where cotton candy is spun from locally sourced maple syrup.
It smells amazing.
Ohio Valley Resource reporter Sydney Bowles takes us to the workshops of Eastern Kentucky maple syrup producers who count themselves among those forward thinkers Jerry Roll just mentioned. People like Seth Long, who along with his wife Cheryl, run South Down Farms in Letcher County.
What if we did it today as an economic piece, as an economic driver?
A big new driver for much of rural Kentucky is recently deregulated hemp, and Kentucky farmers are on the verge of tripling the crop. Annie Rouse has been a tireless hemp proponent and joins us for a look at this budding industry.
I've heard that only 2-5% of the U.S. population even knows what CBD is. So obviously there's still tremendous growth opportunity there. The food, apparently it's only penetrated 1-2% of the population. So still a tremendous growth opportunity there. So I don't think it'll be plateauing anytime soon.
And she'll tell you about her podcast series, Anslinger, The Untold Cannabis Conspiracy. It's all on this week's edition of Eastern Standard, Thursday at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., Sunday at 6 p.m. here on WEKU and on your WEKU Apple or Android app.